Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
4 o'clock hours here. JVT is hanging out at Cabana 7, Stadium Swim. I'm in Kansas City getting ready for UNLV and Kansas. A lot of news today around the Mountain West Conference, potentially having a new look a few years from now as four schools want to bail to go join Oregon State and Washington State and form a new Pac-12 or Pac-6 or six-pack or whatever. So emotions run high. We'll get to the angle of Nevada and UNLV being tied together. Okay, we've seen this in other states. That was Ross Dellinger on Yahoo. Let me get the right outlet. Yahoo, who was saying there's some chatter around that, but it doesn't mean it's impossible for UNLV to be able to move on to the Pac-12. So we'll get to Shannon Kelly, who covers the Nevada scene, the Wolfpack scene for Nevada Sportsnet, in just a couple of minutes. John Von Tobel, Cofield, let's get to the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
You know, it's funny, John. I'm hanging out with our buddy Soren Petro out here, and he was asking me about, like, real good handicappers that you can trust. And I said there really aren't many. And the best way to find out is those that will actually go in public contest and have their picks tracked. Right? They will do it out in front of people. And, you know, you can have a good, you know, you can have a bad year here or there. But if you're consistently pretty good in those contests, then I think you're a pretty good player. And I like what you guys did with VSIN, with Matt Eumanns and the Circa Invitational. I know you can't be in it, but there's 25 people in. Week one records were in. And, you know, some familiar names that have done well in the Las Vegas market that we know came out of the gates with a good start.
Yeah, Chuck Edel, Steve Fezzik, names that are familiar to our audience. 6-1 in the first week. And the way that works is it is 7 picks. You deem one of your bets a best bet, and that is worth a 1.5 if you hit it. So there's that little added wrinkle to it. It's not just, hey, your record. There's a little bit to it. So, no, it's a fun thing. And like you said, it takes a lot to go into a contest that's going to track your record throughout the entire thing. And some were boisterous. Our guy, Vinny Castillo, who was in this thing, came into studio on Friday, said he was going to win the whole thing, and then he came out the gate 2-5. So, yeah. You know, you can be boisterous and have fun with it. But I think you also understand, I'll play at devil's advocate for a second. Steve, it's still a small sample size in terms of success. It's only 7 bets over the course of 18 weeks. You know, again, it's all about big picture, but it's still commendable to come out and enter something like this.
Well, in the case of a guy like Fez, though, the guy was a back-to-back winner of the Westgate Super Contest, yep. So, like, Fez has been around forever. What I appreciate is people that will put their name out there on something like this, because I think there are lots who are like, I would have liked to be invited. Like, really? Do you really want to be out in the public when you're making your picks? Because I don't think you do.
Sure. I wanted to be invited, but I work for the network, so.
Number three.
Number three.
News out there, and it's only one source right now, but did you see this one that Hall of Fame future for Bobby Kraft maybe hindered by the fact that the Patriots and he will forever be tied to Spygate?
That's the off-field issue that's going to keep him out, Steve. That's the problem that we've got here in the Hall of Fame.
But you do understand, if they did it on sexual depravity, what owners would get in?
Right. And again,
that's not fair. I'm not saying every owner is, you know, has a creepy side to them, but I mean, we know documented there are several owners in the NFL right now who are a little bit weird.
Right. No, I just think it rings hollow if this is really the case.
Well, but the Spygate part of it, that is in competition. And, you know, your organization was part of it. It's kind of that oversight, that lack of institutional control. Frankly, and by the way, if that is true, this Hall of Fame voter said, hey, you know what, Spygate is playing a factor into Kraft and his Hall of Fame, we'll say, eligibility in the minds of the voters. Will Belichick ever get in the Hall of Fame?
Of course he will.
Spygate, Deflategate.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. Yes, of course he will. Yeah. He's still considered one of the greatest coaches ever. This is why this kind of rings a little bit hollow. Do you really think that when he's eligible, they're going to keep Bill Belichick out? He's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer the second he's eligible.
He'll probably get in, just like Jim Harbaugh will get in, for doing about the same thing as Spygate, when he's a little more expanded. He'll get into the College Football Hall of Fame, and he'll be, you know, a Michigan legend forever. In the end, if you win at all costs and you produce results, you're going to be respected.
Yep.
Number two.
Number two.
Is there a Mountain West Conference school that got invited in this group of four to go be in this new they're trying to do the Pac-12 with Oregon State and Washington State, plus San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise State, and Fresno State. Was there a school that surprised you or you're irked by? Because I've seen a lot of criticism of certain schools. And you know, with regards to UNLV, like, how do they get in over UNLV?
No, I mean, they all make sense to me, right? Like, you know, when we talk about, like, Fresno State, I think maybe people would point to as the one that doesn't make the most sense out of all of them. But if you look at a team like Fresno State, first off, like, the area that they're going to be in the state of California, that's kind of like your Stanford-ish, right? Like, you're up in Northern California. And then, on top of it, like, some of these other schools, like, they just check boxes. But I will say, in terms of IRC, like, yeah, absolutely. Because you get the satisfaction of being one of the first four taken from the Mountain West. So these blowhards out there in Boise and San Diego State and these fan bases who think their program is all that just get to pound their chest and talk about, see, they wanted us first. So it all makes sense, but it's still annoying.
By the way, I'm not entirely confident that San Diego State is going to bounce back anytime soon as an elite West Coast football program. What Brady Hoke left behind ain't great. You know, I'll point to it again. The schools that got chosen, except for the last year or two with San Diego State, the schools that got chosen do draw. They do get fans to their games. Mm-hmm. CSU has a brand new stadium, so there's a money investment there. San Diego State has a brand new stadium, so there's a money investment there. These schools also, maybe not Fresno in basketball, but if you look at it, they go to bowl games. Over the last 10 years, they've all gone to bowl games and brought money to a conference, the Mountain West Conference, so that's attractive. They've also had, in the case of San Diego State, lots of trips to the NCAA tournament, lots of shares there. Fresno's had its moments. They got to fix that thing because that's ridiculous. They got like a 15,000-seat building and there's 600 there, but Boise's been productive. And Colorado State, frankly, has been underwhelming, but before that, in football, they had made, you know, five bowl games, and overall it's 5-11. You know, there are certain things about those schools that are attractive. And again, we'll repeat it because it's worth repeating. Most of what UNLV fans are banking on, and even people outside the market, it is a what have you done for me lately, right? So you see, like, hey, there's some success here with the UNLV football. They're starting to turn the corner. But a lot of what they're counting on is the growth of the market, you know, powerhouse stadium. This is a market that's hot as a pistol, and they're getting some results. But it's like, hey, but what? Look at what UNLV can be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's, you know, that's the final thing in a decision when it's a very complicated decision.
Well, to your point, too, about, like, fan support. Dude, you've got a football program that's got something going. You were in the Mountain West Championship last year. Your head coach is making them compete. They're off to an undefeated start. They got a big one on Friday night on the road. Of course, that's where you're at. Take on Kansas. Show up this year. That's a team that can win the conference.
There's a chance. And the reason we say this, we're not trying to kill fans, but you're part of it. I think they considered that when they were looking at the four schools. You can play a direct part in being attractive as a university and the athletic program. You can play a direct part in decisions.
And I've always understood it because, look, I grew up out here. You've never had anything to root for. That was always the excuse. It's never any good. Would they win? Wake me up. All right, wake up. They're here. They were a runner-up in the Mountain West. They went to a bowl game for the first time in forever, and it looks like they're on the path to do it again. Let's go.
Number one.
Number one.
Yeah, I don't like the jealousy. I don't like the backbiting. I know these are emotional times. There's still a lot to be decided here.
Well,
so there's a couple things on what could happen next, John. One, it was interesting that a CSU official was the AD there, John Weber, said the power of the Pac-12 lies in the fact that member institutions are situated in the West. Mm-hmm. Is this Pac-12 going to try to build mostly with schools in the West? That would help UNLV. And then this is according to Jeff Grammer. Fresno State and Boise State, Jeff, of course, at the Albuquerque Journal, pointed out that both of the Fresno and Boise announcements each use the same paragraph, noting the Pac-12 prioritized, quote, geography and logistics. So if they are going to be a Western Conference, I believe that makes both UNLV and Nevada attractive. And I'm probably the only radio person in the city of Las Vegas who has constantly said these two schools, maybe not necessarily have to be tied at the hip, but the effort should be made to make both schools' athletic programs more viable. I've also said we have a state taxpayer-funded institution, the LVCVA, that seems to be going out and trying to help the city of Las Vegas specifically, right? Hmm. And growing sports here. I would love to see direct efforts from the LVCVA to back UNLV. What do you think of this thought that UNLV and Nevada could be tied together? And is that what public servants, we'll be nice and call them public servants, is that what public servants should be doing, or should they just go, hey, you know what? Right now, the city of Vegas is the bigger city. The university is a little hotter, a little better funded. Let's just get that school in and then see what happens in terms of funding. Maybe there's some rev share there. You know, UCLA has to pay money to Cal. I don't know how many people follow that whole thing, but because they went to the Big Ten and they're getting $90 million a year, Cal did not and isn't getting $90 million. Should the schools be working together? Should there be public servants out there going, you know what? It's both or none.
No, cut the dead weight. Get out of here. What are we doing?
The dead weight.
Come on. There's one city that's growing, like you said. I mean,
but
we can bring the potential aspect into it, huh?
Reno is growing.
They're growing trees
at a massive rate. They're getting better
massive
funding.
Massive rate.
The city itself, yeah, it's growing. I mean, it's not growing as fast as Las Vegas.
Exactly.
But if you go up there, you can see a lot of growth. There is actually a lot of growth. Yes.
Sure. But in terms of the upside of both of the program, like both of the university programs at this point right now, like you said. I think the better option would be to focus the efforts on getting in UNLV,
yeah,
and then see if that follows with Nevada coming in.
Yeah,
but if there's any sort of, hey, it's both or nothing, like, no, that can't be an option. No.
Dangerous?
No. That's one of those, like, you know, when you're trying to get into the club with your boy, and they're like, you can come in, but he's dressed awful. He can't come in. See you, dude. Have a good night. Go home and get changed.
Boy, if that became the determining factor and neither school got in because the – nope.
Right.
It's all or nothing. I guess I would, you know what, I'd also, again, I'm
Chris Beard all over again.
I'm slightly in favor of that, but yes. Those regions cost the state and UNLV probably tens of millions of dollars.
Yes.
And what they did with Chris Beard, because I think he may have left anyway, but that definitely did freak him out, and it freaked out other candidates about how political, and they've changed that now. But the effect of that has been felt by UNLV basketball for years. And because UNLV basketball hasn't excelled since Beard, you could argue back to my original point 5 minutes ago that when the Pac-2 were looking at the body of work and going, hey, how many NCAA tournament dollars have they brought in each school?
Yep.
How many bowl games have they gone to? There's been some decisions, whether it was directly by UNLV or by the state, that have really hurt UNLV's cause.
Yes. Now, I would argue when it comes to basketball, there was a small decision made right before the whole Chris Beard thing that may or may not have sent the basketball program in this direction, and that was getting rid of Dave Rice in the middle of the season. But that is a whole big can of worms. Which
I don't want to open that up again
right
to you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think.
No,
it's just too much pain. It's too much aggravation. It's too much annoyance. So the point is, maybe the state and a lot of these public servants who have done really nothing for both athletic programs over the years, keep your beak out of it. Let business be business. Allow some progress here. Don't stop progress. Please.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno. It's Cofield and Company.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
So, John, I know how a lot of social media reacted in Vegas to UNLV not being in this first wave of Pac-2 expansion. I don't know what it's like in Reno. I don't know where Nevada fans are feeling right now or how they're feeling right now about this conference or hopes to get into, you know, maybe a better spot. I'm not even sure what the Pac-12 is going to be, if it's a better spot. But let's bring in Shannon Kelly. She always helps us out, looping us in on the Reno scene. What's up, Shannon?
Hey guys, how's it going? It's a pretty quiet Thursday, right?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy news. And I wonder up north, what is the reaction from fans? What is the reaction from media on potentially the Mountain West getting broken up and then as they're being called, the Disloyal Four? I'll come up with a better name than that. I'm stealing that from Dan Wolken of USA Today. But what's the reaction?
I've just seen that people are just upset, really, that it's like, hey, where is Nevada going to fall in all of this? And then, you know, in Ross Dellinger's article that came out today saying that, hey, you know, it would take a lot for Nevada and UNLV to separate from one another. not to say it necessarily can't happen, but there's a lot of politics at play, both obviously, you know, public state institutions. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting just seeing the reaction of how people are, you know, upset and like what's going to happen in the sense of what is next for university and what's next for the Mountain West, because the Mountain West, as we know it, is not going to be the same, you know, come after next year.
Shannon Kelly's with us. From the Nevada side, are there Nevada people who are like, wait, we're tied to UNLV, or should UNLV be tied to us? Are there people out there who believe, like, hey, UNLV is not a better overall athletic program than Nevada? Nevada actually should be the choice and leave UNLV behind.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I haven't spoke to a ton of people yet, per se, but I think, you know, people have seen, hey, Vegas is, it's in a bigger media market. We've seen how professional sports have grown in the city of Las Vegas. So it makes sense that UNLV would be in line. When you look at, you know, Boise State, for example, their media market's the same size pretty much as Reno. So there's definitely a lot of factors that are at play. And of course, Boise State getting that invite. So it's like, I don't know if one necessarily would, I don't know who's relying on who, per se, but you look at, there's just different factors. For another example, too, when you're looking at, you know, some facilities, Nevada just opened up its brand new practice and players lounges. And if this new GSR arena, you know, comes to fruition for the Wolfpack men's basketball team, that's certainly going to elevate things here in Reno, but only time's going to tell really who, I think, who's relying on who. Per se, you know, you look at the football team playing at Allegiant Stadium, Nevada plays at Mackey Stadium. Like, it's kind of apples and oranges, I feel like, in a way, in different sports.
Shannon Kelly's spot each week is brought to you by our friends at Treasure Island Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We do live shows there on Fridays and Saturdays. Remember, Throw the Flag is back 9 to 11 a.m. with Danny and Jared and Patrick Berbert, the risk supervisor at TI Sportsbook, will be on. And you can grab breakfast. John, do it. Chicken chilaquiles.
Chilaquiles.
There you go. grab those on Saturday and Sunday mornings during football. All right, let's talk about Wolfpack football. And last week, I mean, monster effort offensively, almost 500 yards offense, but they don't win the game. And I'm not going to blame it all on turnovers, but obviously a turnover in the fourth quarter is a key. It's a disaster at that point in the game.
That was a huge play. Unfortunately, Savion Red, you know, lost the ball there, and a tough break for Nevada. You also have to look too at all the penalties that did not help. I mean, you look, 14 penalties for 134 yards. That definitely didn't help the situation on many different plays. You know, being able to come out first and to score two touchdowns early, and then, you know, to go cold pretty much for the rest of the game, just that lone field goal in the third quarter. So, yeah, a tough loss. And now it's a matter of how's Nevada going to respond. And, you know, I think if you took away the final score, you would think on paper that, hey, Nevada probably won this game, but that just unfortunately wasn't the case. So, and now let's say, how do they step up when they head to Minnesota on Saturday?
So Minnesota's another big boy. How did taking on SMU maybe help them get ready for this matchup against Minnesota, and what's your expectation?
Yeah, I think it definitely helped because, you know, SMU's defensive line is probably one of the best Nevada's going to see this year. And, you know, Minnesota's going to have big guys up on the trenches on both sides of the ball. They want to run the ball, and, you know, they haven't been too successful at that so far in their past two games, but that's what they want to do. So I think, yeah, that definitely helped, you know, playing that caliber of an opponent and coming so close to beating SMU, really. It was just that little hiccup in the fourth quarter late in the game. So I think they should go in there with some confidence, knowing that, hey, they could be 3-0 had they not, you know, had a couple miscues here and there. You know, on the other side of that, they could be 0-3. That game at Troy could have gone either way too. So I think they have to go in there with the belief that, hey, we need to keep playing our style of football and, you know, not cross that line when it comes to penalties. And that's something that Jeff Choate's been really stern about. He said at practice this week is, you know, they got to be physical, but they just can't cross that line.
Shannon Kelly, Nevada Sportsnet is up. As we just mentioned, Minnesota is hosting the Wolfpack this weekend. Pack off to a 1-2 start, but rush for a gigantic number, and that includes Brendan Lewis, again, who was very productive on the ground. They rushed for 227 as a team, so a good test here against a Big Ten team. You do features every week on different players, and Tell the Vegas audience what the story is with Jace Henry.
Jace Henry, kind of a crazy story for him. He lived all over the country. His parents are in the military, but he calls Alaska home. And Jeff Choate actually recruited him to Montana State when Jeff Choate was coaching there. So he went up to Alaska to visit this kid, and Henry ended up going to Dartmouth. Went there, played a couple seasons of Ivy League ball, and then when he realized he had an extra season left of eligibility, he put his name in the portal, and all the stars aligned for him to come join Jeff Choate at Nevada. And Coach Choate, has said he's such an integral part to the puzzle. He calls him one of the sixth man on the union, so a very versatile tight end. And it's pretty cool just his story of how he landed a kid from Alaska to be playing Division I football is pretty cool.
Prepping for this game, how are the fires and the smoke, especially the smoke, how is that affecting the Wolfpack prep getting ready for football games?
Yeah, it actually hasn't been too bad over on this side of town where the university is. On Monday, it was a little smoky, but they've been able to practice as normal. It hasn't affected them that regard. The air quality hasn't been that bad on this side of town. It's primarily the Big Davis Fire. It's been in South Reno, so that's about 20 minutes or so away from the university. So they've been okay. So they were practicing. We were out there on Tuesday and Wednesday for practice. But, so thankfully, sounds like the fire, they're getting it under control. But definitely a scary sight for many in town here, as many had to be evacuated.
Shannon Kelly on ESPN Las Vegas and Cofield & Company. How much did you look at the Mountain West Conference slate coming out for Nevada? It looks like, February 1st and March 1st are the meetups between the Rebels and the Pack.
Yeah, and I took a glance at it yesterday. I mean, hey, more Mountain West games. Many thought that could be a good thing until, that the selection show came around, and maybe that's not a good thing to have so many Mountain West games to boost the out-of-conference resume. But for Nevada, just one true road game at LMU. So it'll be interesting, and I think playing in the Charleston Classic, that's one of the best MTEs that Nevada has ever played in, especially under Coach Alford. So they're really going to have to take advantage of that tournament to, help bolster their non-conference resume and really be as, prepared as they can be come Mountain West play, to put them in the best position come postseason. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think it's September 12th and football just started, but we're already thinking hoops.
Here we go. Here we go. And there's going to be there'll be extra heat when Boise State and San Diego State come to both Reno and Las Vegas. So it's already those are already heated games. But now that they've basically said we're leaving you guys behind, the fans are going to be pissed.
I know, and it's just I was really surprised when I saw the news last night. I'm not going to lie; I think it was inevitable. I knew this was going to come, conference realignment in some capacity. It's just the era of college athletics that we're living in, but. I mean, I was surprised just to see how quick the news came out and then how fast of a done deal it was, this morning. I think that was the biggest thing for me. And now it's a matter of, hey, where does Nevada go from here? We don't know. As of right now, we're waiting on a statement from university. So we'll see what happens. And, I think for every school in the Mountain West, everyone has to think quickly of, hey, do they want to try and get in? So the Pac-12, this new Pac-12, or what does the Mountain West look like for everybody moving forward?
Yeah, is there a Mountain West, and then what does it look like? And then all these hopes of, not hopes, but prospects of going to the Dakotas and getting those schools to go to Division I. Like, I don't know if they want to do it, so it's a very uneasy time, and it's going to be here for a while around the Mountain West Conference. Shannon, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good time covering the Minnesota game against the Pac.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
They have a chance in that game, John?
For Nevada?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's always a chance, but yep. I don't know if stepping up against that front seven is going to be a deal breaker for them, because I think that might be going a little hard in terms of trying to run the ball against them up front.
And you got my point, right, on the, when people start looking at how to rebuild the Mountain West Conference and are like, oh, go get this, FCS power, that FCS power. We don't even know if these schools, they're like, hey, we like where we are. We
right,
dominate
100%.
Here. We have to put how much extra money into it? What, for this conference?
The assumption that everybody will just come running. Mount West, as obviously we've kind of hit on it, I know you're going to get the money, but you can't be too happy because
no,
your chairs are running out and the music's about to stop.
Two tickets. Let's give them away. 364-1100. Trans-Siberian Orchestra is in town. The Lost Christmas Eve Tour. The show is on Friday the 29th. You can buy tickets for the first time tomorrow, so we got them before you can buy them. Ticketmaster.com. Go grab them. Orleans Arena, again, on November 29th. It is two tickets. 364-1100, 364-1100. And by the way, that is at the Orleans Arena, a very fine facility for shows. Caller 7, 364-1100.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Do I ever. Garazzo's. Unbelievable downtown. They've got the best Sicilian artichoke you've ever had in your life. It's got cheese in it. It's got shrimp. Every single week you pull out an artichoke, there's a shrimp sticking on that sucker. You want a reservation there? You call me, my paisans will take care of you. We'll get you in there. Steve, you'll have the best meal you've ever had. It's better than Vegas Capo. Capo's my favorite in Vegas. This place is off the chain. You'll absolutely love it.
Wow, Joe Esposito, the coach. Now he's with the Ruse, used to be with UNLV. He went crazy yesterday talking about his local Italian joint and then flexed his muscle. He's like, you need a reservation, you tell me. Okay, Joe.
Did you get one?
All right. Should I feel bad that I'm not going there?
I mean, after that, yeah.
I know. Well, we are going to get Italian. That's going to be lunch tomorrow. You got to get the carb load. You know, you got to walk the sidelines. You got to get
course.
The carb load.
Yep. Usually runners expend a little bit more energy when they carbo load than ever
yes.
before. But yeah.
Than radio host and portly radio host. The place I'm going to is Italian Delight. One of our friends here in Kansas City owns the place. And I've never gone there, so Caleb Herring and Matt Neverett will be going along. There's some pressure here, both on the owner and me, because I pick a place and I'm going to a friend's place. Like he's got to deliver here, and I need a good meal.
What do you get? You don't just get like spaghetti and meatballs, do you?
No, he's. But here's the great thing: it's very old school, and there's a little market pressure on him in terms of prices. I don't see anything on the menu that's more than $10. That's more than $10. He's got, you know, you can get whatever you want, ziti and meatballs or lasagna or a meatball parm or it's all like he's got calzones for $7. I talked to the guy before. I'm like, you got to raise your prices. He's like, you don't know the neighborhood. You don't know the clientele here. And like they've come to an expectation, especially our older customers. Can't go too crazy.
I like a good caprese salad.
Let me see if I can find it on the menu.
Is that how you say it?
What are we looking
at? I was trying to be obnoxious.
Okay. I really thought you wanted. I'm like, in Vegas, you can get that for $17 now. So.
Well, I do like them, but I was just trying to be obnoxious with my pronunciation of it.
I don't think you're obnoxious. Right. You know, okay. It's fine. Philly cheesesteak, $9.69.
With Wiz? I've come more on the Wiz side of things. You
Why
know?
Is that?
I've just had it a couple of times, and I was like, oh, you know, I think this is the better way to do it.
I've never been a Wiz guy.
The provolone.
Yeah, I like the
All my trips out there to Philly, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we're going to hit a barbecue place tonight. That'll be good. It's a legendary place, Gates.
Wait.
What's wrong?
When's the Italian spot?
Tomorrow for lunch.
Jeez, man. You guys are packing it in, huh?
A little bit. Yeah,
barbecue
a little bit.
Spot and
You only
Italian.
Have so much time.
That's a lot of heavy meals.
Dude, you got it.
Span like 12 hours.
Listen to this one. Well, last, you know what? Today I actually ate light. We hit a Mexican place and, you know, and I got two tacos, nothing else. No beans, no rice. And I didn't eat like seven freaking baskets of chips. I was like, I gotta take it easy because I know what's coming up. I go out last night to grab dinner. We go to a local bar. I'm just gonna out him because he knows he was being crazy. Our friend Saran Petro is like, hey, you know, let's get an appetizer. He's like, I like the cheese curds. He's looking at the menu for entrees and he's like, you know what, I think I'm just gonna back up the cheese curds with the spicy cheese curds. And I'm like,
what
are you talking about,
bro?
That's your entree? And he's like, he's lost a lot of weight, and he snapped out of it, and then he ordered. He's like, I'll have a salad.
We have to have a salad, but like,
I didn't tell him he had a salad.
Cheese curds, and then like the main event was going to be more cheese curds.
Have you ever seen anyone order something as the app, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to get more as the meal?
I mean, no,
crazy?
I've seen somebody order the app as like a meal, but usually it's nachos or wings,
right.
Not like not just fried cheese.
Yep.
That's insane.
And all the cheese you can have, the curd, like it. I don't know nutritional charts. I mean, it's got to be like the heaviest cheese.
I mean, I don't even know about nutritional. It's just like, do you care about your wife and kids?
Right.
You're gonna be ripping it all day long.
Well, then the other thing is like, we're also both in our 50s. Do you know what that much cheese is gonna do to your system
right.
for like days?
You're gonna need a squatty potty.
You are gonna need a squatty potty. He's crazy. All right, we turn the page. We'll get to leans and likes for college football this week, and we'll see if Brad Powers says something on the Dolphins and the Bills.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Thursday Night Football, NFL. He's on the way with the Dolphins and the Bills. We'll get some leads and likes here in a couple minutes on that one. We got college football kicking off. Arizona State, Texas State, scoreless about 2.5 minutes in. High on sports gambling today, brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, just south of Trop. Brad Powers is with us. Brad, what's up, buddy? John, I trust that he's there. He'll pop in any second now.
I believe it.
He's ready. John, give me your take on the movement so far with Kansas and UNLV.
I'm disappointed because, Steve, I've got a nice UNLV plus 7 ticket in my pocket. So I did not read this one the right way at all. But I believe. And if I thought plus 7 was a play, obviously I think plus 9 is a play.
Why do you believe?
I am really unbelieving in the additions on the back end that UNLV has made defensively. Like, I think that is going to make a difference. As we watched in that game together out there in Arizona in the bowl game, that some of those big plays that were allowed by Jason Bean in Kansas in that offense, I think are going to be fixed, those issues defensively. You know, when I got to talk to Barry Odom at VSIN, when we had him in studio, obviously it was an off-season priority, and I think that is one of the main reasons why there's going to be a big difference made in this game.
You think defensively they've shored up between the personnel and maybe a more aggressive scheme?
Yes.
Well, they've shown the scheme so far in limited spots. Say it again.
Well, that wasn't me.
Oh, that was Brad Powers.
Oh, that's old Brad Powers.
There he is. He's live.
There he is.
We're doing things on the fly. We're organized today. What's up, Brad?
Hey, that's on me. It's nothing to do with your producer. I just didn't have my I'm not used to clean feet, so bear
Brad,
with me. I'm an old man now.
We're good.
Let me just tell you right now, Brad, as somebody who's worked the radio and has been a producer, it's always a producer's fault. So
just leave it at that. John used to break the equipment all the time. Brad, what's your take on Kansas now sitting at 9.5 against UNLV?
I agree with the move. I'm a part of the Kansas money. I wouldn't say that there's value now coming off key number 7. I got it below the key number. Just a tough spot. UNLV short week. I mean, they should be confident they play with Kansas in the bowl game, but I just think Kansas losing last week was the worst news for UNLV this week, and that was a misleading loss for Kansas. A game they you know, you look in the box score, they should have won. So I think UNLV will come up short. I think they'll play hard. Obviously, this is the best UNLV team probably ever. Could say. But just, you know, they're running into Kansas at the wrong time.
Another Friday game, Kansas State and Arizona.
I think Kansas State. I don't like what I've seen from either team though so far. I mean, neither one has covered a game yet. I on a short week, I trust Kansas State's run game probably more than Arizona at this point. But you're going to hear me say this probably in a few games. Really good data point where I'm going to figure out what either one of these teams is going to be in 24.
Game I'm really excited for. Alabama at Wisconsin, 16, total of 49. We'll call the consensus. Do you believe in the secondary issues for Alabama?
Well, I mean, they're young. Yeah, it was going to be the issue on their defense, we thought, coming in, just because they're going to start a couple of freshmen. And now, I'm not scared of Wisconsin's passing offense. Right. If I'm Alabama, I can tell you that. I'm not scared of Wisconsin's offense, period. This isn't even a classic Wisconsin offensive line. They don't have an All-American caliber running back. The quarterback, to me, doesn't look healthy, so – I think it's a deserved big spread here. With that being said, you know, my power rings would lean Wisconsin, but I need 17 to show to even consider betting the Badgers.
Market's really pounced on your boys. They were a 16 on the look ahead. We are now down to 9.5 on the road for Notre Dame against Purdue.
Yeah, I'm hearing whispers that Riley Leonard's not going to play, which is, I think, going to be a good thing for Notre Dame.
Right.
So I bet Purdue. I'm part of the line move. I think Purdue's live if Leonard plays. If he doesn't, I would like Notre Dame at the right number because I think the market will overreact. You can't overreact to a guy that's got zero touchdown passes. He's got one completion of 20 yards. So the backup, Steve Angeli, we've seen him a bunch. I thought he was more efficient than Sam Hartman in a lot of games last year. He looked good in the bowl game. So this is a sneaky one where I think the market's going to overreact to Leonard being out and a melee with Notre Dame on game day.
Brad Powers with us. BradPowersSports.com, at BradPowers7 up on Twitter. Colorado State and Colorado, I'm fascinated by this one.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. On one hand, I do lean Colorado. I just worry that Colorado State on the back end doesn't have the athletes to cover in space. I bet Colorado, but I'll say this. I got a bigger position on Colorado's season win total, and I would root for a Colorado loss. And if Colorado were to lose this game, I think the season's completely combustible, where I mean it could be 2-10, 3-9 type of dumpster fire.
These rivalry spots are weird. First, let's get to the Civil War. What do you think of Oregon State? Can they hang and potentially play, you know, inside of two touchdowns? I mean, the line's a little bigger than that. What do you think of that game?
Well, I mean, if Oregon plays the way they did the last 2 weeks, then forget the points, right? Oregon State's live in this game, and just like Boise State was live, just like Idaho was live. So I mean, the market certainly for the third week in a row expecting a lot out of Oregon. For me to believe it, I got to see it first. What I have seen from Oregon State is a powerful running attack, something that I think can be repeatable week after week after week. So I've been impressed with them. I need 17, though, to bet Oregon State.
Yeah, Mississippi State got a little plucky on the road last week in coming back, at least, you know, making it respectable. You put out numbers on Hugh Freeze and his history as a double-digit favorite. He ain't great, and I wonder if you're suggesting an upset here against Toledo.
Hugh Freeze is at Auburn.
You're right. I had it ID'd the wrong way. My bad. Yeah.
No, you're all right. You're all right. At first, I was like, man, that maybe
nah,
it's me.
Screwed up.
I was like, what game's he talking about here? But yeah. I like the over.
Again, it's Griffin's
games,
fault. Again.
That is Griffin's fault.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I like the over in both games. I keep it simple. I've given out both overs in both of those games. And by both games, I mean Toledo, Mississippi State, and Auburn, New Mexico. Obviously, I think New Mexico's a dead nut over a team, but their defense is the worst in the country. Dampier running around at quarterback. I think Auburn's offense and Hugh Freeze rebounds. Mississippi State, I like the fight that they showed in the second half against Arizona State last week. So, you know, we've seen a lot of money come in on them this week. I agree with that, but I just prefer points here.
Apple Cup, Washington, Wazoo.
I lean Washington. I think it's a little – they've been a little sneaky. No one's really dove into them too much. They haven't played anybody yet, but, man, their box scores are pretty dominant, more dominant than the final scores show. I mean, they're in the top 10 in yards per play margin. I know Washington State got a big win last week, but it was kind of fluky over Texas Tech, and I bet Washington State in that game. So I like what I've seen from Mateer at quarterback for Wazoo, but I just – Washington's going to be a different animal here, so I'm going to lay it with the Huskies.
What do you do with Florida, Texas A&M with the news that we're going to see both DJ Lagway and maybe Graham Mertz?
I haven't bet side or total, sitting it out. It's a really good game to get a data point on what these two teams are going to be. Obviously, neither one looked that good in week one. I mean, both played tomato cans in week two, and we'll get a better feel this week.
What about Oklahoma after – what do I do with Oklahoma after that against Houston? I think Houston's one of the worst teams in the country, but they pushed Oklahoma last week. Now the Sooners get Tulane.
My power rating is like Oklahoma, but I'm not super confident in that power rating yet. I lean their way, but this is another game where I'm going to get a feel for what Oklahoma can be because I'm worried. I got to be honest with you. I heard a really bad – review on their fall camp, particularly their quarterback Jackson Arnold, and through the first two games that report that I got for just prior to the season has been nothing but true. I mean, Jackson Arnold looks terrible on offense.
Brad Powers up on Cofield and Company here on a Thursday at Brad Powers 7 on Twitter and BradPowersSports.com. Big game for Memphis against Florida State.
It is. I mean, certainly a bigger game than was expected just a few weeks ago. I mean, the game of the year line was like 16. And then, you know, I think a week ago when the line opened back up, it was like 2. So a huge adjustment for Florida State being 0-2. But I think they recompose themselves at least a little bit. They have to. Otherwise, season's over here. But off a bye and Norvell playing his old team, I think they're the sharp side this week.
What are we doing with Michigan moving forward? Because that was a weird spot against Texas, and they're taking on Ark State.
I laid it this week. I think Arkansas State's a phony, a fraud. 2-0 should be 0-2, so I didn't have any problems. I thought Michigan, rewatching the tape, I thought their quarterback played better than I originally thought watching that. Plus, they showed some fight in the second half. I know, oh, wow, they showed fight in the second half. You're talking about the defending champs, but, I mean, I thought Texas was going to, I mean, beat them by 40 points after watching the first half. So I liked what I saw there, and I laid it against Arkansas State.
Bill O'Brien. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, John.
You pointed to me. Again, Griffin, man, you got to stop with this. How bad is Wyoming?
Oh, my goodness. yeah, I mean, Idaho's pretty good, though. So, but, yeah, offensively, I mean, we got sold a bill of goods there. They talked about that quarterback, Svoboda. I know I'm butchering the name, but I'll tell you what he butchers. He butchers the forward pass. We watched him the first two games. But I don't see a pathway to a bowl game, and I bet him over 6 wins. So that's
I agree with that. Jay Sauvel came into our Circa studio at VSIN, and I bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I was like, Jay, you're right. You guys are going to be great. They're awful.
Yeah, over 6 wins, and it is dead. I mean, it's a 3-9 football team, if that.
What do we want to do with Indiana taking on UCLA?
I got a big power ratings disparity here. I actually have UCLA favored in my power ratings. I've upgraded Indiana significantly, but just not even close to what the market has. I guess call me skeptical. They've beaten FIU, and they've beaten Western Illinois. If you're not familiar with Western Illinois, they've lost 26 straight games. And obviously, FIU is a bottom 10 team in the FBS. So this is a big prove-it game for Indiana. But right now, I think off a bye, give me the Bruins outright.
What kind of impact when you're power rating Utah now is the Cam Rising injury going to have this game and moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I got him for this game worth of, you know, about 6 points. But, I mean, I still think Utah can just line it up and run right at Utah State team that, I mean, looks abysmal so far. So not that big of a factor this week. But, you know, next week they travel to Stillwater. Then it becomes a factor. A game that's 50-50 goes to, you know, Utah being probably a 6-point underdog.
NFL, what do we want to do with this game tonight, Dolphins and Bills? You got a side or a total?
I lean Bills, but obviously, you know, let's tease it. There's a lot of second leg of the teasers on Sunday. I mean, wherever you want to go, whether it's Denver, the Giants, you name it. But let's tease Buffalo up 6 points for the two key numbers of 3 and 7. So that's what I prefer tonight.
BradPowersSports.com and BradPowers7 up on Twitter. Brad, we appreciate a couple minutes, buddy. We'll see you.
Hey, sorry about that mic issues, Griffin. It's not your fault. It's my fault, buddy.
Don't listen to old Griffin. It's all your fault.
It's not. It's not at all. I thought that, yeah, when I saw that number for that Indiana game, I was like, what's going on here?
I agree. Look, UCLA, I think, and here's the thing. I think the market was just kind of waiting for the opportunity. Remember, market moved against them in that Hawaii game, and they were right. You know, they don't kind of cover that number, but they end up winning. So this whole thought of, like you said, he's going to be terrible. See, we were right in week one. Indiana's looked okay through 2 weeks. It's almost like confirmation bias. I agree with the thought of, like, dude, we've gotten to the point now where we know enough about Indiana. They're going to be laying a key number on the road. I don't think I'm there.
Ion Sports Gambling is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. A true local bar, one of our favorite sports, a rocking menu. They will have the Friday game. None of that ESPN battle that's going on with DirecTV. They'll have it against Kansas. 24/7 breakfast. From the Reuben to the French dip, great menu. Today's special is a prime rib French dip, or you can get pot roast with potatoes and veggies. Check it out, Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop.